I'm not sure if we've ever spoken about this, but you know, there's the dynamic of the world, the way it's explained in Kabbalah and just the way it is that there's mashpia and mekabel. There's a giver and there's a receiver. And sometimes, especially in the position that I'm in and that you're in, we're very privileged to be in a giving position. We're always trying to help people and teach people, and that's just our job. That's what we're tasked to do. And both in tragedy and in good things like this, we sometimes need to actually accept help. And it's not easy. It's actually interesting.
You are listening to The JP Show,
where we discuss the issues you care about from a Jewish perspective.
I am Rabbi G.
And I am Rabbi Levy.
And we hope you enjoy this episode. Wow, okay. Welcome back after a bit of a break to everyone.
It's been a while.
JP Show, yes. Actually, I haven't been away as long as you have, Rabbi Levy. I did one myself because you decided to have twins.
That's right.
And disappeared. But it's good to see you back.
Yes, it's...
How are the twins doing? Well...
It's been an adventure. Thank God the twin boys. Yes, we had twin boys. Thank God. Are healthy, well, and all going well.
And of course, I'm probably biased, but they are super cute.
They are pretty cute. That's correct.
Very, very cute.
So I don't have much else in my mind at the moment. So I thought we would discuss that. No, because the truth is, someone was actually talking about this recently. Every life experience, if you let it, teaches you things, right? And that's actually one of the purposes of it. Helps you grow, helps you internalize certain messages, and that's what we have to do. Everything we go through, and usually people talk about that when they go through hard things and bad things, which is of course also true. But it's also true when good things happen. We can't just let them happen and move on in life. We have to let them teach you things and experience them on a deeper level.
Correct.
So I thought of three things that came up in my mind.
Sorry, but sorry to interrupt. Your voice is going in and out. I think it's because you're moving. Maybe if you...
Oh, okay. Let's move closer. All right. So I thought of three things that perhaps we can discuss in connection to me having twins and the experience. So the first one I think we've probably discussed in the past, but I think it's still very, very important. And that's gratitude. I've had many good things happen to me in my life. Thank God, I've had an amazing life. And I've always been grateful, but I don't think the feeling of gratitude has ever been matched since having twins. I've mentioned this to a few people, just like feeling just very grateful. You know, every baby is a miracle. Every child is an extreme. This is my fifth and sixth child, Bli Ayin Hara, and it doesn't get less exciting because you have a few other ones. Every child is a miracle and an amazing gift from God. In addition to that, if they're healthy and well, I mean, that's an additional blessing. But there's something very, very unique in having two. And I actually don't know exactly how to explain it. It's just like a miracle on top of a miracle, especially because obviously there are complications associated with twins and things that could go wrong and that didn't. Yes, yeah, just an extreme feeling of gratitude. That's very important. I was mentioning this to someone, and they said that they hope that I can hold on to this even when I'm very sleep deprived, and it gets more difficult. Which is true, actually. Like now it's relatively easy. They're very sleepy. They're very little, but it definitely gets more.
They will wake up.
Challenging, but hopefully that feeling of gratitude can remain.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. I mean, I thought about it a lot when you had them. I mean, I didn't, they're grandchildren, but it's always hard for me in my head around even one baby being born. It's such a miracle. It's like a creation. It's like, all the details. I mean, like, it's just amazing, right? To have everything that a human being has that just in miniature. And then when it's two, it's just, it's incredible.
It is actually
incredible. More.
And I think also something also very important that you've mentioned also since they were born. Sometimes in life, like when something happens and it's very noticeable that it was a miracle or something very bad went wrong, and then it corrected itself, and then, you know, then people get very grateful. But then there are things that we actually miss, that we just take for granted. And when you actually stop to think about it, there are some miracles that we don't even know happened, but they, like, if you just actually think about it for a moment, it's very true with twins. Like, so many things could go wrong, both with the mother and the babies throughout the pregnancy. And when everything goes smoothly and they're born healthy and the mother's healthy, you know, you have to actually think about it.
No, for sure. I think maybe also just to put that in a different way, for in a different direction a little bit, I think when things are obvious and you're very grateful for them, like you say, it also should teach us to be grateful just for everything every day.
Correct.
That's every right. day is a miracle. I think, you know, we say in the Amidah, we thank God for his miracles that he does every day. And that's true. Life is a miracle. Life is amazing. And just the simple things, not to take them for granted.
Yeah.
One of the great Rishonim, Nachmanides, I think, was one who said that the actual difference between a miracle and not a miracle is that a natural event just happens more often. So you get to expect it, and you get to have the expectation that just should happen. Almost entitled. I mean, you couldn't think for 1 second about getting up in the morning and the sun doesn't rise. I mean, you know, of course it has to rise. Yeah, well, the same one that makes it rise is the one that makes the miracle. So
yeah.
Nature is itself an amazing miracle.
Yeah, and life is
sometimes the things we don't know. Like you say, there's the, you know, the previous Bavachar Rebbe used to talk about this, about a certain verse in Tehillim where we thank God for Niflaot Gedolot Levado, for his great miracles that he does alone. And he said the way to translate it is that the greatest miracles are the one that he does alone that you don't even know about. You know, you don't know when you cross the road, like, what, you don't know the things that were meant to happen or could have happened, and God just led you in a way where you were saved or you okay. And just, yeah, everything is just miraculous.
Yeah. And gratitude for life itself. I mean, babies, when they're first born, don't really do anything, actually, other than live, like, yeah, just survive, right? And yet it's such a wonder and such an amazing miracle. It's just to appreciate every breath, every moment of life.
Yeah.
Another, maybe it's related, maybe not, another area of thought which we could think into is the ability to accept help. I'm not sure if we've ever spoken about this, but, you know, there's the dynamic of the world, the way it's explained in Kabbalah and just the way it is that there's mashpia and mekabel. There's a giver and there's a receiver. And sometimes, especially in the position that I'm in and that you're in, we're very privileged to be in a giving position. We're always trying to help people and teach people. And that's just our job. That's what we're tasked to do. And both in tragedy and in good things like this, we sometimes need to actually accept help. And it's not easy. It's actually interesting. It's actually not an easy, I'm not sure why. Maybe you can elaborate on why it's not easy and what someone can do about it. But it's like, you almost don't want to be in that position. Does that make sense?
Correct. Because it always feels better to be the giver, you know?
Yeah. Is it an ego thing? Is that what it is?
A little bit. I think it's a little bit of a time to reflect on our giving. So let's just back up for a second. So I don't know if we've talked about it on this podcast, but I've given shiurim on this topic. And like you say, I mean, even the Talmud even says that there was a story when someone questioned a great sage, a heretic questioned a great sage, and he says, well, if God has everything, so why are the people that need? And he said, because the world has to be based on chesed, on kindness, and therefore that's to be giving and receiving, and therefore people can give charity and so on, right? And I think that Talmud has a much broader meaning. We are all, the world was established that there should be kindness. Kindness requires a giver and a receiver. And we all have things that we have, and we all have things that we don't have, or sometimes we don't have, and we need to receive from others, right? Now, it can be ideas, it can be creativity, it can be knowledge, it can be money, it can be food, it can be help, it can be anything, right? And of course, chesed by definition is the ability to give, and it's a great virtue. Giving is the greatest thing, but we need, and that's the purpose of the world, and it's a God-given direction and guidance that we need to be givers. We also need to understand that to maintain or sustain a world like that, there are sometimes we have to be receivers, because you can't have a world of chesed only with givers. Just very simple. If there's only givers, then there's nothing. There's no one to give to.
Right.
Now, I want to just put into a parenthesis over here, because some of the time also we don't want to receive alms because there is a value about not being a taker.
Right.
The Rambam says this, right? Rambam says that people should do whatever they can to work. And he talks about people that make do with very little because they don't want to come onto other people. Mm. They don't want to be dependent on other people. It's a virtue. It's a value. It's a Jewish value to be self-sufficient, to be independent, to work for a living, to earn a living, and not to need other people, right? Not to take handouts, so to speak, as we call them, right? And it is a legitimate, deep Jewish value. And that's also why it gets confused sometimes with the need of taking, because we don't want to be a taker, right? We don't, right? And I think the difference is the following, that a taker is someone that is needy and is not really working towards not being needy.
Mm.
A very comfortable position of being a taker. And that's not right, because we have to try and always help and give, because taking at the end of the day is about us. Giving is about beyond us, right?
Mm.
However, if we want our giving to be real and to be selfless and about not about us, the test of that, I think, is that although we strive not to be a taker, that doesn't mean that we're never a receiver, because receiving is integral to the journey of giving, right? So therefore, giving is really, really important. And therefore, so how does that play out? It plays out that we always need to know that we're not perfect, we'll never have everything, and that although we strive not to be a taker, but we also have to understand that our purpose besides giving is also to facilitate other people's giving. Therefore, there are times when we're really in need. That's what community is about. That's what the nation's about. That's what the world is about. So, you know, yeah, I mean, if you say, well, you need help now for the next 13 years because you have twins, that's not a good idea. But you know, it's a hectic time having twins. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I didn't have twins. I only had babies, but that's a hectic time.
Yeah.
But, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, you know, so there are times where, and also there are things, it's also a lesson about there are times we need to reach out for emotional help, or we need to reach out for creativity help. We don't know everything. We don't have the answer to all questions. We don't have the ideas or strategies for every situation or experience in life. And therefore, we need to be able to reach out and receive.
Yeah.
That's our test.
For sure. And you know, just say like, you know, our community is unbelievable. I mean, the amount of people that have, it's cold in the middle of the day, you know, if we come over and help, and yeah, it's very humbling. I think also sometimes, this is true in every relationship and every dynamic, sometimes we need to receive, as you say, and acknowledge that it's also in order to give. Meaning, like for example, in this situation, if I were to, let's say, for example, dinners, for example, people have been sending over dinners every night. If I were to spend 2 hours on that, that would then not enable me to be able to be present for my wife, my new kids, right? So I guess like sometimes you do need to receive in order to give as well. And that's true in even within a marriage itself. Sometimes you have to acknowledge that you can't do everything, and you have to sort of like a team, it's a team effort.
Correct.
Another area which I can't say I struggle with this tremendously, but it did cross my mind, especially since certain things happened and all of that. That is, there's somewhat of like when you're very, very blessed, when you get like an amazing blessing like this or anything else for that matter, sometimes there's like almost a guilty feeling that comes along with it. Like, you know, to give like a very broad example, right? How can I be happy if there's hostages still, or even less global, even like, you know, I was blessed with two children. There are some people who still need the blessing of children in general, right? And it's not like I deserve it more than them. I don't. I can say that with absolute confidence. I didn't do anything to deserve this blessing. I didn't earn it. God in his great infinite kindness blessed us with this. Is that a good feeling? Is that a bad feeling? Like, where is that coming from? Do people suffer from that? Is that just...
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I think we know that guilt is not a good thing, because the product of guilt is the opposite of productivity normally. It doesn't lead to any good thing. But I think it's about going deep into our view. It's not about us. You're right. It's not about what we deserve, we don't deserve. It's about being the recipient of God's blessings. He chooses to bless all of us. He chooses, everyone has blessings in their life. When we experience tremendous blessing, emphasize blessings, and we know that other people are suffering in the same area, I think rather we need to channel that guilt. We need to feel unbelievable gratitude that God has blessed us. At the same time, it needs to encourage and motivate and activate maybe a stronger prayer for others and a stronger care for others. Not guilt. God gave it to you because you need to have it. God gave it to you because you should have it. And that's your calling right now, to receive that blessing and to do with it whatever God wants you to do with it in a meaningful and purposeful way. But at the same time, guilt is not a good feeling, but you can channel that to a better feeling. Better feeling is turning to God and saying, I'm very, very blessed. In fact, I don't actually need to daven right now for this blessing for myself or pray for myself, but actually I want to channel that and really pray for others. I see this, I cherish this blessing, I appreciate this blessing, and now I want others to have that blessing too. So I think that's maybe a part of the purpose of receiving blessings, or how we can channel that feeling.
Right.
It's always about, giving is about others, so we need to channel. So, I mean, when you feel guilty while you have something and someone else doesn't, it doesn't help the other person.
No.
Right? He still doesn't have it. So you feel guilty, but he still doesn't have it, right? However, we believe in the power of prayer, for example, right? So he's saying, or it could be not only prayer. I mean, children's a bit different, but if someone, is financially very well off, for example, and maybe has the same feeling, why me when other people are struggling? Well, the people don't have anything from your struggling, but they will have something if you say, God bless me, I'm going to try and help people. That kind of thing, right? So
yeah, sure. So those are my three thoughts as a father, and I would love to hear your thoughts as a grandfather.
So grandkids are always easier than kids. You just get the good parts.
That's right.
And I have to confess that although your mother's been very active, your father...
I don't know if that's true. It's a little humble there. There were two...
Probably needs to be a bit whacked. I've been helping. No, I've been very busy.
There were two simchas that had to be arranged, and I didn't do anything for them. So
that's okay.
It happened somehow.
You did do something, and I suppose I'm also holding the fort and doing some of your stuff in Bina while
you're
away.
That's right.
So that's my contribution. But it's great. I mean, whenever I come over, I mean, I see the pictures you're posting on the WhatsApp. It's gorgeous. Can I know her? It's an emblem blessing. Grandchildren are an amazing blessing altogether. I'm grateful. I'm also very, very grateful. And I share some of your reflections. It's amazing. Baruch Hashem. It's humbling. It's humbling. Like you say, God is his miracles every day are abundant, and the blessings is very truly felt.
Yeah. So on that note, I wish everyone such blessings in whatever area in life you need them.
I think that's some great reflections. And we should always be able to talk about blessings.
Amen.
See you next week, everyone.
All right, everyone.